All right, good deal. So, but this song has this part in it that says, "I'll never know how much it cost as I see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross." And I remember every time I sing that song now, I remember I was on the beeline with one of our college students. We were heading to Orlando to an event, a conference, and that song happened to be playing on the radio, and he turned to me and he says, "Do we not know the cost?" He says, "Are the lyrics to this song accurate?" And I thought, well, that's a great question, but I don't know that I can answer it immediately. Let me think about it just for a minute. And so, but by the time we got to Orlando, I said, "Well, do you know the cost? Did you experience nail-pierced hands? Did you experience giving up perfection to come to a place where people are going to wish that you were dead and think that they accomplished something by putting you on a cross?" I don't think we'll ever know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I was thinking, too, last night or yesterday afternoon, like half the country, I was watching two teams play their heart out. And it was the Georgia and Alabama game that I was watching. And honestly, I was kind of torn. I'm an SEC fan. I love SEC football. And so I didn't think the loss would hurt Alabama, so I was kind of cheering for Georgia. And so I thought we could have two teams in the top four playing for the national championship, and that's a little greedy of me, but that's where I was in the moment. And then they put Jalen Hurst in, and I'm a Jalen Hurst fan, and I thought, man, this is now I'm in a dilemma, you know, because I want this guy to do great. So I found myself cheering for him, and he did not let any of his fans down, because he showed exactly what kind of football player he is. But he's more than a football player; he's a man of God. He worships the Lord, and he is in awe of God. And at the end of the game, he was questioned as to why he didn't transfer. It's funny that they asked that question, Jeff, because earlier in the week, we had a staff meeting, and sometimes our staff meetings look more like a sports analyst meeting, and so we should have just a radio show going on in there, and that's what we were doing that day, and we were talking about how Coach Nick Saban, he has this ability to keep players from transferring when they're not able to play, because their third-string players could be the first string of any other team in college football in most cases. And so this came to question as far as Jalen, you know, how do you keep a guy like Jalen and not use him and him not transfer to another team? And there's something special there. And he was asked that question at the end of the game. Why, why not transfer as talented as you are? And his answer was, because I put it in all in God's hands, and here we are. I put it all in God's hands, and here we are. Well, I have a similar testimony to that, as I had to come to a point in my life, and I try to do this daily, but I'm honest, I'm not that great at it, is just putting it in God's hands day to day. I have a tendency to want to try to control my circumstances, and so that is a dilemma that we should all try to avoid. And surrender to ourselves to the Lord daily. Several years ago, I was doing a Bible study. It was a DVD series, and it was a archaeologist leading his students in the Holy Land, and they were walking down this path with just the camera was doing. They did a great job with the videography, and they were just spanning the beauty of the mountains, and just everything was just so beautiful. And then they came to this ridge, and they looked down into the valley. But the whole time that they were walking this path, and you could see these beautiful mountains that they were passing, you didn't really hear anything from the students. But they came over this ridge, and they came upon the ruins of an old city. I don't remember what it was now. But they came over the ruins of this old city. But I do remember this, and that is the response of those students. They sucked the air out of the world. They were amazed by what man had created. And the thing is, it was the ruins of what man had created. It had not lasted. It died, and it was dead. There was nothing to it. There was no life there. But they came over the ridge, passing all of God, what God created, came over this ridge, and they look at what man did. Wow! That's amazing. And it wasn't even livable. He could get nothing from it but a great picture. And so, man, we live in a world that doesn't understand the importance of seeking the kingdom of God first. We are so impressed by man. We are so impressed by what we can do. And that leads me to the point of where my sermon actually starts. last week I did relieve my family and those small group of friends and people that had been burdened with discretion. And when I shared the news of our coming departure, it made me think, I can only imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus would do something really cool, you know, and something miraculous, and then say, don't tell anybody yet, you know. So he would say, see that you say nothing, you know. But I do want to say thank you to my family and my friends for bearing with me during this time of waiting and also praying with me during this time of waiting and seeking. But I also want to thank the church for the time that you've given me as a minister of students here at Central. You've truly loved me and my family. Landon even has an adopted grandmother known as Miss Tic Tac Betty. For every Sunday, as long as she could make it here, she gave Landon Tic Tacs. And you know, if you come in our house in the hallway, some of the college students have been there, but there's a little shelf. And that shelf, even this house we live in now, is lined up with Tic Tacs. She gave him so many Tic Tacs, he hasn't been able to eat them all yet. So I've even tried to help him, but I don't like them. So we ate the fruity flavors, and you know, that means the minty ones are left. So I definitely want to thank you for all your love and support over the years. Today, my attempt is to share with you a message from the Word of God, and at the same time share our current testimony of what God is doing in our life and how He's leading us. And that brought me to Psalm 37, 1 through 4. So if you would turn in your Bibles there. And I just want to go ahead and begin this time in prayer as well. So, Heavenly Father, I just come to you now because I need you. My desire is to rely on you to share your word and to communicate to our church today. So, dear Lord, I just pray that you lift me up in a way that brings you glory. And that as we hear your word, that we respond appropriately, however you would have us respond. But today, that as we spend time in your presence, that we honor that time, and that, Father, that when we leave different than we showed up. And I pray this in your name. Amen. So, let's go ahead and read that passage. We'll look at just verses 1 through 4. I encourage you to look at the whole chapter of Psalm 37. For the sake of time, I'm just going to touch base on the first four verses. But it says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This psalm is such a great reminder of where true happiness can be found. It is a great encouragement to seek the Lord, a reminder to seek the Lord and not the things of the earth. This is a great go-to passage. This verse, if you only have time to read a verse, go to verse 4, read that verse, because it just reminds you that we should be seeking the things above and not the things of the earth. Several years ago, God had impressed on my heart and my mind to combine my past experience in the food service and hospitality industry and my current experience as a student minister, to combine those two things together. And since that time, I've been thinking on the idea to open a restaurant that would serve as a ministry. In the beginning, I thought it was something that was going to happen as soon as He gave me the idea, you know. And so I was very, you know, just ready to go do it right then. And so I shared my idea with many people and asked them to pray with me and talk to people about investing in the idea. And the time was just not, I wasn't ready, and it wasn't part of God's plan at that time. It was just the idea there that He had shared with me. And it didn't take long to realize that while God was revealing to me a direction, it was not time to move forward, but to be prepared. Always be prepared to say, yes, Lord. And so we started making the steps to be prepared to say, yes, Lord. And as years passed, the vision evolved. It kept getting bigger. You know, when you think on things, the ideas just expand and grow. And so I can only imagine how Disney World ended up like Disney World, you know. But it began to evolve and grow. But also some doubt set in too, because it seemed so far away. It seemed like it was impossible to reach, but God is in the impossible business. And so I wouldn't give up, but it did, you know, doubt would set in and discouragement. And year after year, the answer was not yet. Be patient and focus on your current responsibilities. To be frank, some years I was relieved the answer was not yet. I love what I do. And sometimes it was a bit discouraged. It was also discouraging. However, I knew if I were to take on this change without doing it with the Lord, that it would be nothing more than filthy garments. He would continue to remind me of that, that, you know, you can run ahead of me, but you're on your own doing that. And it's not, it's going to end up being ruins. So I would just continue to pray and wait, talk to people as they came along that I could share this idea with. Some of you guys are out there right now. And so, but again, just, you know, I was reminded to not be pursuing my own happiness, to really just be seeking the things of the Lord and seeking His kingdom first, and to store up my treasures in heaven. But there's a problem with seeking our own happiness, you know. A Go ahead and look at Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." See, nothing in Scripture tells us to seek after our own happiness, to seek after our own pleasure. You will find passages that will tell you to deny yourself, to possibly even give up your happiness, right? Because that happiness that you have is temporary, and you'll find true joy in God. So this passage is one of those. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Isaiah 64:6, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. You see, when we seek after our own happiness, we might be able to find happiness in the moment, but it's temporary and it lives out its season, and once it has made it through its cycle, it has actually produced no life. The garment will show blood, which represents there's no life there, and so we've produced nothing. Nothing has come of it. And that's when we do life on our own, when we do it absent of God, when we try to pursue things ourselves and not be led by God. We were talking about crazy bumper stickers with a couple of people a few weeks ago, and I brought up the bumper sticker that says, "God is my co-pilot." And I'm like, our response to that bumper sticker should be, "Well, you should let him drive." You know, stop making him be the co-pilot. Let him be the pilot, you know. But seeking happiness anywhere else but in Christ Jesus is just a product, is just as productive as, and no different than eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There is no life, only death. You see, it hasn't changed since the first human beings. Eve was seeking her own happiness, her own joy, trying to do it on her own, absent from God. And what did she find? She found something that didn't last. She found death. Temporary happiness in the moment. Oh, it tastes so good. I'm holding it like it was an apple, because that's what we all think it is, right? Whatever it was, whatever that fruit was, she consumed that fruit. She passed it along to Adam, saying, "Oh, it's delicious, right? You should try it." I don't know if she thought it was delicious or she just didn't want to be the only human being that had eaten from it. So you have those kind of friends, you know, do this with me, you know. So stay away from them. Bad company brings misery. So we are now at a stage in life, and at Central, where things are pretty good, quite honestly. Carrie had become a valued employee at Florida Tech after many years of service, and they began to recognize her value. So there was certainly job security, and as well as the benefits that come along with a valued employee, right, from the employer. Landon had landed a job with Hardee's, thank you, Miss Nandy, and has become a pretty good swimmer with Brevard Heat and playing soccer with a city rec league and developing and building relationships and friendships. And he even recently from his soccer team, he has this friend that will call him up wherever he is and ask him if he can ask me to give him a ride somewhere. So we've got this friend, you know, "Hey, Landon, can your dad give me a ride somewhere?" So Landon's not necessarily with me when I go pick up this kid and give him a ride somewhere. But that's a neat relationship, right? The friendship just includes the whole family. So Never had that happen before, so even in youth ministry, so that was different. But it just doesn't make sense anymore to make any change in our life. We've gotten pretty comfortable. Thank you, Central, for such a generous salary. And it makes it hard to leave, quite honestly. And you really have to seek the Lord in making those decisions. And so it just doesn't make sense anymore to make a change at this stage in life. We have a grandson close by, and good grief, we live in a gated community, you know. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to leave right now, you know. And of course, that's when God comes. Are you listening? But of course, it's in the midst of all this good stuff, God begins to gently say, "It's time." When I tried not to listen, he sent my wife to me, and she came to me in May and said, "Shannon, I think time here is drawing near." And at that time, we both knew we needed to earnestly seek God's plan for our next stage in life. So I continued. That was the beginning of summer stuff, you know, and we had a lot going on, vacation Bible school and summer camps and stuff. So I continued to focus on the summer activities and summer camp, but also began to build a team of prayer warriors to pray with me as we sought God's will. I began looking in the direction of opening a restaurant. Well, even that didn't quite turn out the way that it had looked in my own mind. The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord determines his paths. And so, we had a lot to think about. You know, I have a family to take care of. I have my parents here, and we like to be able to help them wherever we can. Carrie has parents in Mississippi, and her dad has had a couple of heart things to take place in his life recently, and so she's had the desire to be close to him. And so we were conflicted in where we would start this new stage in life, and so we just began to pray through it, and I put out my resume, and which, by the way, I had not done a resume in a very long time, and it's changed over the years. So we did that, and so basically I had been looking at a restaurant in Mississippi, in Starkville, Mississippi, close to the Bulldogs, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, by the way, the good ones. And so they had actually offered me a position, and I had been meeting with them over there. And so I was on the way back. I thought, man, I would like to go by and see my cousin John and my cousin King. I have a cousin by the name of King, K-I-N-G. That's a true story. That's what's on the birth certificate. I thought, well, they live in Auburn, so I thought, well, I'll just stop by and see them. And when I leave this meeting, it's going to be late, so maybe one of them will let me spend the night with them, you know, and save money for my hotel. So I stop in Auburn. I let John know. I had his contact information. I let him know that I was going to stop there, and asked if I could stay with him for the night and take him out to dinner. And so so I got there, and we were on our way to dinner. He forgot to call his brother, like brothers do. And so on the way to dinner, he tried calling his brother, but his brother was not in town. He was on his way back from Nashville with a lady that is the founder of a restaurant called Chicken Salad Chick. And so he said, "You know what? I'm traveling right now. Can I call you tomorrow? Enjoy your evening with John, and I'll call you tomorrow when I get back in town. So I went out with John. We had a great time, lots of laughter. And by the way, it was Japanese food, for those of you that were in the Sunday school party, not Chinese. And so we had dinner, and then the next day King called, and he said, "So why were you, what brought you through Auburn? That's kind of not a normal thing for you to do." And so I said, "Well, I was in Starkville, had a meeting working out some details with this restaurant, and so he said, "Wait a minute, so you're not going to be serving in church ministry anymore?" And I was like, "Well, I hope to be bivocational, but this is the direction that God is leading me right now, is to open up a restaurant, or to be part of a restaurant right now, and then eventually open up one." And that's still a dream of mine, but it's not working out right now, so I just want to get back in that industry. And so he said, "Well, hang on." He said, "Can I call you back? I need to talk to somebody." And so he rushes to get off the phone. So I get off the phone, and he calls the founder of Chicken Salad Chick and asks about me being a part of that company. And so he calls me back, and he says, "You know, I would like for you to be a part of this. Let me send you some information." He sent me a video and some other things to look at in regard to this. But basically, he was buying a franchise in Rome, Georgia, and buying the franchise rights for Rome, Georgia. And so we ended up getting together, meeting. They asked me about, you know, my philosophy in regard to being working in a restaurant, and shared with me theirs, and it just jived together. They loved, I was honest with them. I said, "I really would like to open up my own restaurant, and this is what I would like it to look like, and this is what I'd like it to accomplish. I want it to be more than just a business. I want it to be a light in the community. I want it to do ministry. I want it to make God famous." And so, but they were on board with it. They said, "Well, can you do that with our restaurant?" And so that's how the conversation went. And so spending a little bit more time with her and her family, and again, just prayed about it, but really knew, you know, God just gives you that. He lets you know. I orchestrated all this for this moment. And so we knew that that's what God was leading us to do. And had made the decision as a family that we would take that next step in life and move to Rome and a new way of doing ministry. And so, again, I appreciate everything that you have done for us and all the encouragement that you've given us. But just let me encourage you, because in life, in the world that we live in, you'll constantly hear people say, "Well, you just need to do what makes you happy." That's a very dangerous and hedonistic message, teaching. It's not biblical. It sounds good, and I'm sure there's good intentions, but that's not the life that God has called us to. God, there's a partial truth in that God does want you to be happy, but the word happy that God wants you to be is different than the hedonistic word that the world uses. There is joy. Unmeasurable joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean it's going to feel good all the time. But you can rely on the fact that our God, He gave up His reputation as God before men and put on flesh. And He did do something that I will never know. I will never know the cost of my sin. because of Jesus Christ. There will be people, matter of fact, the majority, that will know the cost of their sin. Because there is a death that is eternal. And it is filled with torment, according to God's word. So I encourage you, I warn you, there's a world out there that is being led by the spirit of the Antichrist, that is seeking to devour whom he may devour. And the only thing, the only hero, the only Savior, because he's more than a hero, the only Savior is Jesus Christ. So seek the things above and not the things of the earth. Those are temporary pleasures and they will fade, they will burn up, they will be destroyed. But there is joy with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that you promise us joy. That yes, you do want us to be happy, but that happiness means so much more than what we could accomplish here on our own. Thank you for your blood that has paid a debt that would be impossible for anyone else to pay, for everyone. I pray that our church today, that every person that's here has or will today put their faith in your work on the cross. I pray this in your name. Amen.